control what you can control, show up for the people that need you, be consistent, be constant. And if you stay in your lane and do that, it will lead to happiness and less distraction over time.
We are Harvard Ventures, and this is The Bottom Line, a podcast about entrepreneurship, innovation, and everything in between. I'm Alexandra, and today we'll be speaking with Sharon Marcel, a senior partner and managing director at Boston Consulting Group. Sharon is a member of BCG's Global Operating and Executive Committee and head of BCG's North America region. She holds a BA in Economics and Government from Duke University, where she graduated magna cum laude. She also received her MBA from Harvard Business School, graduating with distinction. From discussing her time in school to her experience on Wall Street, where she worked in M&A at Goldman Sachs, Sharon takes us on her journey and transition into consulting, where she has worked for more than 30 years at one of the world's premier consulting firms.
Sharon, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
To start off, what would your childhood self have assumed you would be doing professionally right now?
Well, as a kid, I always wanted to be a professional tennis player, inspired by players like Martina Navratilova and Chrissy Everett. But I think I knew pretty quickly by the time I was in junior high school that wasn't going to happen. So I did a series of things, actually, when I was quite young, a series of jobs, including some jobs involving sales and distribution. I was also a waitress and a lifeguard, but I think all of those jobs helped to shape what I liked and what I didn't like about work. So that was good to have experimented.
Nice. I also probably would have wanted to be a professional soccer player or something, but it's not going to manifest. Would you have changed anything about your time in undergrad at Duke?
Well, I don't know if you've ever been to Duke or visited, but it's a fantastic school, really beautiful.
Beautiful campus. I have
beautiful been, yeah. campus. Exceptional. Exceptional. I had a lot of fun at Duke too, but was focused clearly on my academics. And so when I think back on what I would change, I think my experience was narrower than it could have been because it was so campus focused. So love the professors, love the friends, you know, did a lot of stuff both in and out of the classroom, but not really around the area, not in Durham, not in the nature surrounding Durham. So I think if I were to go back, I would enjoy that part of it more than I allocated time to do.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for coming on the podcast. My question for you is that we've had a few HBS grads on our show before, and we're always interested in what their most impactful experience was during business school. Could you please share yours with us if you have one?
Sure, of course. Great to be here too. I went to HBS right after I had worked on Wall Street with Goldman Sachs, and I had gone from working in my dad's business growing up to doing a series of jobs that I described to Wall Street and had accumulated a fair bit of experience doing different things. But I think at HBS, what really sharpened me was the need to participate so much in class. And unlike my undergraduate, which was really test focused and in a different way, HBS is all about oral argument. And I hadn't done oral argumentation since I was in junior high school. And so I think wow. When I look back at HBS, it was the need to synthesize and then present oral arguments on a daily basis that I think sharpened me. And that was quite helpful in terms of my later business experience.
Definitely, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. Speaking onto that business experience, you've had a very successful career. And reflecting back on those professional successes, what would you say you're most proud of so far?
Oh, gosh. I think I'm most proud of the teams that I've helped to nurture. So if I think about my career at BCG, I've done a lot of things across the matrix, have been involved in a lot of different practice areas from consumer to retail, to public sector and had terrific clients. But for me, we have this phrase at BCG, grow by growing others. For me, I'm most proud of the impact I've had on the people I've worked with and the teams that I've built over time.
Definitely, definitely. That's pretty incredible. And now to kind of take a step back and talk more about your career and your work, can you walk me through the inflection points of your career and kind of what you learned in each experience? What did you decide to do out of Duke and then eventually going to M&A at Goldman Sachs?
Yeah.
And, you know, what led to business school and also then the transition into consulting at BCG?
Yeah. when I graduated from Duke, I seriously considered getting a PhD in economics. So I loved economics. I decided instead I would go to Wall Street to get some practical experience, and then maybe I would go back to school. So I went to Wall Street and recognized while I was not going to be a banker in the long term, I really liked a lot aspects of that job. So I loved the client service and being connected to the clients. I loved the pace. I loved the real world experiences. And so Goldman shaped me. When I went to HBS, it was a point of reflection. I did consider going back to Wall Street, but I also had an opportunity, believe it or not, to interview with consulting firms. And I didn't think I wanted to be a consultant, but I love the interview process. I love the problem solving. I love the connectivity. The people were super, and chose BCG because it was a fantastic place to go with a great brand. But I loved the people I met, which was the number one reason I went to BCG. And then, to be honest with you, I have had a nonlinear career path at BCG. So through partner, it was pretty linear, but then have done a number of different things as a partner. So had the opportunity to lead our consumer practice, then moved actually laterally to lead our public sector practice, ran the global sales function, the global marketing function, and now running North America. So it's been a journey. It's been a long journey, but it's been a journey at each point, you know, learning something new and having the opportunity to pivot a bit.
Definitely. And that's great to hear that after all this time in your career, the people and the teams have been so special to you.
Absolutely. And the people, clients are people too. So it's the people, the teams and the clients. That's been my passion.
Awesome. And now let's kind of zoom in on your consulting and your time in consulting. How has the field of consulting changed over the past 25 years? And what do you think it needs to do in order to maintain or grow its relevance in the future?
You know, it's interesting. When I joined consulting, I would say it was almost a cottage industry. It was pretty fragmented. There were a lot of different consulting firms. And over time, there's been a separation. And so if you look at it now, although still reasonably fragmented for a marketplace, the consulting market is more consolidated, particularly the premium consulting market space, where there are three big players who operate in that space. So consulting has grown as a market. Consulting has consolidated. And one of the reasons for that has been, I think, both the need and the benefit of greater expertise. And so when I joined BCG, it was much more of a generalist model. And at the junior levels today, it's still a generalist model in many respects. So that's a lot of fun, you know, coming out of college or coming out of business school. But we have a lot of specialization that happens as well. And that is super helpful in terms of taking on a new assignment, having to get up to speed quickly, and having the right expertise on your team where you can really go up that learning curve super, super fast. For me, as a practitioner, the number one thing that has changed is the speed of acceleration due to the expertise that we have in the firm.
That makes a lot of sense. And that was kind of my next question as well, is the current trends or opportunities you're seeing in the consulting industry. Would you say that's the big one?
It is certainly a really important one, and it's going to continue to be important. There are, let me call them, newer disciplines also, you know, so decarbonization and climate, you know, that is going to be a problem that we're going to have to work with our clients on, and our clients have to get better, and we're going to get better and help them on that. I think AI will play a more prominent role in terms of client solutions going forward. Already plays a very prominent role, but I think that's another trend that you'll see in consulting. And you know, what we're seeing in the marketplace is the bigger firms operating with more scale are more resilient and doing better in terms of taking share and developing these capabilities. So I do see that continuing.
You mentioned two of BCG's moonshot ideas there in order to create, you know, some more impact in the world. So kind of on that note, BCG is obviously part of the private sector.
Yes.
And you've mentioned a couple times about your lateral transition to spending some time, you know, in the public sector and in government. So having been exposed to both sides, what do you think is the best way to create impact?
It's a great question. Well, I've chosen to stay in the private sector. I had an opportunity, a really good opportunity, to move over to the public sector that I seriously considered, but ultimately decided to stay in the private sector. A lot, David, it is dependent on the role that you play and the resources you have. I think that you can create enormous impact both in the private sector and in the public sector, and you need both to be working together. So if you think about I talked about climate. Well, without funding and without a regulatory framework, which is controlled by the government, we're not going to make a lot of headway, you know, on climate. And it's a hard question to answer. I have chosen my path to be on the private sector side, but recognize the criticality of the public sector. And I have deep appreciation for the men and women and civil servants who dedicate their career there, because it's super important work that they do.
Yeah, it seems important that you have people on both sides that really can work together and come forward with innovative solutions to push forward with these challenging issues we have coming ahead. Speaking of challenging issues, we've heard a lot this year about a potential upcoming recession. Do you think the risk is over or understated? And as, you know, a leader of businesses yourself, how do you think leaders should be approaching their strategy right now?
Yeah. I think what's certain is uncertainty. And I think that's going to be true for at least a couple of quarters more, you know, maybe into the fall. What you see right now in terms of the numbers is interesting and in some ways conflicting. So very low unemployment rates, roughly 11 million open jobs, high inflation, which we haven't had in a very long time. You see consumers struggling to make ends meet. And as you see that struggling in part because of inflation and the rise of things like fuel and food prices, as you see that struggling, the consumers are making trade-offs to not spend on other items that they consider more discretionary. And so I think this needs to be worked through. You know, the Fed is taking action to increase interest rates. I'm supportive of that action. I think it's a good idea, but I don't think it's going to work in the immediate term. So there's going to be uncertainty. The other thing I would point out is what you're seeing is really de-averaged results by sectors in the economy. Look at the airline sector. They're doing a lot better than they were doing in 2019. They've taken out capacity. They've raised price. There's enormous demand for travel in a post-COVID world. They're doing very, very well. Other sectors are really struggling. So there's volatility. There's de-averaging in terms of the sectors that are performing relatively well versus not. And I see that as continuing into the future. I will leave you with a thought, though, which is irrespective of the economy or inflation or unemployment, you know, there's opportunity. And the opportunity is going to be gained by companies that have an agile strategy and ability to make change in the short term and in the medium term. Those are the companies that, in addition, of course, to market position, will have the best results, you know, regardless of recession or not.
Yeah, consulting is a unique industry in that when you do have times of a downturn for certain industries, like you were saying, that might be an opportunity for them to come in and create some change, whereas other sectors who might be doing strong want to be able to continue that momentum. So kind of unique exactly. Position to be able to handle both those cases.
That's right. That's right.
A little bit more broadly here, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I've received a lot of great advice over the days, but
you can give us two then.
Okay, that's good. So good advice, great advice I've received is control what you can control and don't worry too much about externalities. I had a friend, Miki Tosaka, and she had a very wise mother, and her mother said to her, it's not about you, which means there's a lot that's happening in other people's lives or in the world in general, and you can't overthink it or try to overcontrol it. Just stay in your lane. Control what you can control, show up for the people that need you. And those are the people in your personal life. Those are the people in your work life. Be consistent, be constant. And if you stay in your lane and do that, it will lead to the happiness and less distraction over time.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important in light of the previous question we had there with uncertain times and, you know, potential recessions and people struggling. I think just focusing on what you can control makes a lot of sense there. Do you have any parting words for students or young professionals aspiring to leadership positions such as your own? We do have a demographic of listeners who are undoubtedly wanting to go into a similar field as yours and have high aspirations. So curious what you have to say on that.
Yeah. So I would encourage people to go into consulting. I actually encourage my daughter to go into consulting. And why is that? I think it gives you an interesting vantage point into both the public sector and the private sector. So I think it's a great place to start a career. and stay if you're having fun. If you're having fun, if you're fulfilled, if you are getting energized by what you're doing, stay. And if you're not, there's so many opportunities in this world. So I would just say, embrace your entrepreneurial spirit and mindset, find purpose and passion, you know, in what you do. And I think the last piece of advice is take care of yourself. There's only one you, and you have to make sure you leave time for yourself, take care of yourself, be kind to yourself, because, you know, coming out of college or me and my everyday work, you know, we all make mistakes and we're going to make mistakes and we're not going to be perfect. But to continue to have a mindset of continuous improvement and not about perfection, but actually I will make mistakes and I'm going to take chances and I'm going to try new things. I think that would be my advice to my younger self and the advice I try to give myself every day.
And the advice you seem to follow. You had another opportunity, you said, in the public sector, and you really like what you were doing here in the private sector, and you followed that, which is awesome. One of the questions we always like to close on here, kind of a more lighthearted one, is what is your most controversial opinion or take?
I think condiments are overrated. All condiments, mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise. I think food should be eaten in a straightforward and plain way.
It can be overdone, right?
It can be overdone.
Well, thank you so much for your time here, Sharon. We look forward to potentially crossing paths here in the future.
That'd be great. Thank you so much for your time. It's been fun.
And that's the bottom line. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please be sure to find us online at harvardventures.org. If you are a company or an individual that is interested in working with us, please email us at hello@harvardventures.org. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Harvard_Ventures. And be sure to tune in for another episode of The Bottom Line.